Welcome back to Unzip, the show where we crack open the latest AI and ML research and pull out what actually matters. Big thanks to our sponsors today, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production AI, including their Glow compiler that turns research models into real inference pipelines. Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your silicon development partners from AI all the way down to COC design, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella of silicon industry companies with Ada in their portfolio, making sure cutting-edge AI actually runs in the real world. Today, we're unpacking five papers covering native multimodal training, data preparation benchmarks, self-evolving LLM skills, pseudoscience, and deployment configs, and a new reinforcement learning training framework. Let's get into it. All right, paper one is called Scaling Native Multimodal Pre-Training from Scratch. And this one tackles a pretty fundamental question in multimodal AI. What happens when you stop bolting vision onto language models after the fact and instead train everything together from day one? So here's the context. Most of what we call multimodal LLMs today are actually late fusion architectures. You take a pre-trained language model, you attach a vision encoder, maybe throw in some adapter layers, and you fine-tune the whole thing on image-text pairs. It works, but it's a bit like trying to teach someone a second language after they've already built all their thinking in their first language. There's always going to be some friction. Native multimodal pre-training says forget that. Train from scratch on images and text simultaneously, so the model never develops a text-first bias. The cross-modal understanding is baked in at the foundational level, not patched on top. The key problem this paper is tackling is that we actually don't have a good understanding of how this paradigm scales. With pure language models, we have chinchilla laws, we have all these beautiful empirical scaling relationships that tell you how to allocate compute optimally. For native multimodal training from scratch, that scaling story was basically unwritten. What the authors do is run a systematic series of experiments across different model sizes and data mixtures to characterize those scaling properties. They're looking at how loss curves behave, how different modalities compete for capacity, and whether the optimization asymmetries that plague late fusion models actually go away when you go native, and the results are encouraging. They find that native multimodal pre-training does exhibit predictable scaling behavior, meaning you can start to build chinchilla-style intuitions for compute allocation when you're training on mixed modalities from scratch. That's a big deal for anyone planning large training runs. They also find evidence that deep cross-modal integration really does reduce those optimization asymmetries. Late fusion models tend to have different effective learning rates for the vision and language components, which creates weird training dynamics. Native training sidesteps a lot of that. For practitioners, the takeaway here is pretty actionable. If you're thinking about the next generation of foundation models and you have the compute budget to train from scratch, this paper gives you a framework for understanding how to scale that training efficiently. It's not just an existence proof, it's starting to build the engineering playbook for native multimodal models. The big caveat is that training from scratch is expensive, and most teams don't have that luxury right now. But as foundation model training infrastructure matures, and as the scaling laws become better understood, I think native multimodal pre-training is going to become the dominant paradigm. This paper is an early but important step in mapping that territory. Okay, paper two, Data Prep Bench, benchmarking LLMs as training data preparators. This one hits close to home for anyone who has spent way too many hours cleaning datasets. The core observation here is deceptively simple, but really important. The quality of training data fundamentally determines what an LLM can do. We all know this. Garbage in, garbage out. And yet, despite LLMs increasingly being used to help prepare training data, writing prompts, filtering examples, generating synthetic data, there was no standardized benchmark to actually measure how good they are at this job. The authors frame LLM-driven data preparation as having two complementary capabilities. First is data construction, taking raw sources and transforming them into supervised training examples. Second is data quality evaluation, predicting how valuable a candidate dataset is before you actually train on it. Both matter enormously, and they're quite different skills. Data Prep Bench is their unified evaluation framework covering both of these dimensions. They test a range of LLM and agentic workflows, that is, multi-step AI pipelines where the model can take actions, not just generate text, against a standardized suite of data preparation tasks. What makes this interesting is that data preparation isn't just a matter of following instructions. It requires judgment. You need to understand what makes a training example good, what kinds of diversity matter, what biases to avoid. These are subtle, high-level skills that don't show up in typical LLM benchmarks. The results reveal some pretty significant gaps between models. Top frontier models do reasonably well on structured construction tasks, but struggle more on the evaluation side, predicting which data will actually produce better downstream performance. That's the harder, more implicit judgment call. There's also an interesting finding around agentic workflows. Multi-step pipelines sometimes outperform single-pass generation, but not always, and the gains are highly task-dependent. So if you're building a data pipeline and thinking about whether to add complexity with an agent loop, this paper gives you some empirical grounding for that decision. For ML engineers, this is genuinely useful. How many times have you used an LLM to generate synthetic fine-tuning data or to filter a dataset and just kind of hoped it was doing a good job? Now there's a benchmark to calibrate against. You can assess which models are actually reliable for which data prep tasks before you commit to a pipeline. I'd also say this paper is a good reminder that data preparation is not a solved problem, even with powerful LLMs available. The benchmark exposes real weaknesses, and that's valuable signal for where the field needs to improve. Paper 3 from Archive is Skill Self-Play, Pushing the Frontier of LLM Capability with Co-Evolving Skills. This one is about a really clever approach to the problem of making LLMs improve themselves without human oversight. So here's the fundamental dilemma in self-evolutionary LLM training. On one hand, you have environment-bound methods, things like coding tasks or math problems where you can automatically verify whether the answer is correct. These give you precise, reliable feedback, but they lock you into narrow domains. Your model gets really good at code and math and not much else. On the other hand, you have open-ended self-generation where the model generates its own tasks and evaluates them. This can cover basically any topic, but the verification is unreliable. The model can convince itself it's doing great when it's actually just learning to produce plausible-sounding but wrong outputs. Misleading rewards pollute the training loop. The authors identify agent skills as a middle ground that threads this needle. The key insight is that skills' discrete, composable capabilities have a nice property. They can be composed to create diverse, open-ended tasks, but the composition itself provides a form of structural verification. If skill A and skill B need to work together to produce a correct output, you have a much more reliable signal than if you're just asking, did this sound right? The co-evolving part of the name is important here. The skill library isn't static. As the model trains, it develops new skills, and those new skills enable new combinations, which create new training tasks. It's a feedback loop where capability and curriculum grow together. The results show meaningful improvements on reasoning and generalization benchmarks compared to baseline self-play methods. And importantly, the gains aren't just on the narrow task types that appeared in training. There's genuine generalization, which suggests the skill decomposition is capturing something real about transferable capabilities. For researchers working on AI training pipelines, this is a really promising direction. The dream of LLMs that can meaningfully self-improve without human labelers is still out there, and this paper takes a concrete step toward it with a principled mechanism rather than just hoping the model knows what's good for it. Practically speaking, if you're building agents that need to operate across diverse domains, thinking in terms of explicit skills rather than monolithic capabilities might give you better handles on both training and evaluation. It's a useful mental model even outside this specific training algorithm. Paper 4 is a bit different in flavor. It's from Archive, and it's called Opaque Epistemic Mediation: How LLM Deployment Configurations Shape the Validation of Pseudoscience. This is a critical empirical study about something that should matter to everyone building or deploying AI systems. The core question is, do LLMs give consistent, reliable answers about contested scientific claims? And specifically, does it matter how you access the model through the API versus a web interface or across different system prompt configurations? The authors tested four major LLM families, Claude, Grok, GPT, and Gemini, on a specific and deliberately provocative test case, evaluating ethnonationalist pseudoscientific claims derived from a controversial biosocial framework. They ran these tests across four temporal snapshots from October 2025 through February 2026. The headline finding is striking. Grok's fast versions, the ones that power the default user experience on X, formerly Twitter, consistently assigned higher credibility to pseudoscientific claims compared to other models and compared to Grok accessed through the API. The gap between deployment configurations was significant and reproducible across multiple time snapshots. This matters for a few reasons. First, it's a concrete demonstration that the same underlying model can behave quite differently depending on deployment configuration, system prompts, interface, perhaps retrieval augmentation. Users have no visibility into these configurations, hence the opaque in the title. Second, it raises serious questions about epistemic responsibility. If millions of people are using an LLM as a knowledge reference and that LLM stance on contested claims varies based on opaque deployment choices, that's a meaningful influence on public understanding of science. For practitioners, this is a reminder to test your models in the actual deployment configuration, not just via API system prompts and interface layers can shift model behavior in ways that matter ethically, not just technically. What your model says in a sandbox may not be what it says to end users. The broader implication for the field is that we need better transparency standards around deployment configurations.
It's not enough to evaluate a model. You need to evaluate the model as deployed. And right now, that's a gap in both our tooling and our norms. I think this paper is valuable as a methodological contribution too. The temporal snapshot design is clever. It lets you see whether changes in deployment configuration over time correlate with changes in model behavior on sensitive claims. That's a useful template for auditing AI systems in practice. All right, last paper of the day, MOLT, a scalable PyTorch native training framework for agentic reinforcement learning. This one is for the people who have spent way too long fighting with training infrastructure. The problem statement here is one a lot of ML engineers will recognize immediately. Agentic reinforcement learning, that's RL training where the model is an agent interacting with environments over multiple steps, requires constant iteration, new reward functions, new rollout schemes, new pipeline stages. And in most existing frameworks, every change you make propagates through multiple layers: the trainer, the distributed backend, the rollout logic. Changing one thing breaks something elsewhere. The iteration cost is enormous. MOLT is a PyTorch native training framework built explicitly to keep that cost low. The design philosophy is really interesting. They wanted a code base compact and clean enough that a researcher could hold the whole thing in their head. And they specifically mention it being readable by AI coding assistants, which is a very 2025 design constraint. The PyTorch native aspect is important. A lot of existing RL frameworks introduce their own abstractions that sit on top of PyTorch in ways that can be opaque and hard to modify. MOLT tries to stay close to the metal so that standard PyTorch debugging tools, profilers, and mental models all just work. The framework supports the key components of modern agentic RL, things like PPO and other policy gradient estimators, distributed rollout collection, asynchronous training pipelines. But the emphasis is on making these composable and modifiable rather than on packing in every possible feature. The scalability claim is backed up with benchmarks, showing competitive throughput compared to more complex frameworks, while maintaining that simplicity. So you're not paying a big performance tax for the cleaner design. For researchers actively doing agentic RL work, and this is a hot area right now given the interest in reasoning models and tool-using agents, this is worth taking seriously. The main value proposition isn't raw performance, it's iteration speed. If you can try 5 experimental variations in the time it previously took to try 2, that compounds fast. There's also something philosophically interesting here about framework design in an era of AI-assisted coding. Designing for LLM readability as a first-class concern is genuinely new, and I think we're going to see more of this. Your codebase isn't just for human collaborators anymore. If you're building training infrastructure for agentic systems, MOLT is worth a look as either a production option or at minimum a source of design ideas for keeping your own stack lean. And that wraps up today's papers. Huge thanks to our sponsors, Ada, for making production AI deployment actually work with their Glo compiler and end-to-end inference stack. Ago Consulting, the Ago team helping you navigate silicon development from AI systems all the way down to SOC, and Zen Semiconductor, the umbrella company bringing it all together across the silicon industry. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our sister show Git News AI in the Ada Podcast Network. It's a great complement to Unzip if you want to stay current on the software side of AI development. Links to all 5 papers are in the show notes. If you're not subscribed yet, hit that button now. New episodes drop regularly, and there's always more good stuff in the queue. I'm Skylar, and this has been Unzip.